Hello everyone, welcome to the Voice of Nursing. My name is Adrian Tracy, I'm the CEO of ICG Medical. Today we are joined by Dr. Jamel Geraghty.
Morning everybody.
Jamel, welcome. Tell us about your journey into nursing.
So I think my journey starts probably 19 years ago now. I came to the UK just after turning 17. And I went to Aberdeen to train as a nurse. So I trained with the Robert Gordon University. And at that time, it was a diploma in higher education in nursing. We were Project 2000, so it was the first launch of that. So it was exciting for me, quite daunting as a 17-year-old. So I suppose I've been in nursing quite a long time. And from there, after I did my diploma, I realised quite quickly that actually, as a nurse, I would need my degree. So I decided to do the Bachelor of Nursing degree with the University of Dundee, which I started immediately after my training. So I was working full time and studying as well. It seems to be kind of
a theme, isn't it?
A theme. Yeah, exactly. So I worked while I was studying. I was based in the care of the elderly and vascular at Aberdeen Royal Infirmary. Mm-hmm. And then it became quite clear that I had an interest in wound care and tissue viability. I'm not sure exactly why. I think it was very rewarding for me to see wounds heal and I to alleviate the suffering of patients who had wounds. So I did a bit of exploring into how I could actually further my career, both academically and professionally, and I realised I had to leave Scotland, which again was quite a daunting thought at 21. So there were no opportunities, unfortunately, at that time in the Republic of Ireland. And there were none in Scotland. There were no master's degrees. Mm-hmm. So the options were, I think at the time, Thames Valley or the University of Hertfordshire. Yeah. And there may have been one at Cardiff. So I took a leap of faith. I packed my bags by myself and moved down to London. And I remember coming over with my mother looking for somewhere to live and looking for a job literally at the weekend. And I was very fortunate to moved to Hatfield, where the University of Hertfordshire is based, and begin my MSc journey in tissue viability, which was over 3 years, again working full-time in A&E at the time. That was my journey to the master's. From my master's, which was 3 years, as soon as I submitted my final dissertation, I realised, I got into my car, I remember ringing my mother and saying I want to do my doctorate. So I knew quite clearly straight away that that was the journey that I wanted to do. I wasn't probably fully aware at that point how difficult it would be and the challenges, but I knew that I wanted to further my education. And probably about 6 months later, I applied for the professional doctorate in health research at the University of Hertfordshire. I was successful for the interview and I enrolled on a 6-year programme part-time studying my doctorate while working full-time for complete. So I've been in full-time practice for 19 years. I've never had a gap. I've never had a break. So it's been quite an amazing journey. And I think that's why I'm here today, to kind of share that with some of the nurses out there.
Tell us a little bit more about tissue viability and what's going on with that, and a little bit more detail on that, because it's a different path from some of our nurses, so maybe not as, you know, as famous as some of the other areas, but it'd be really interesting to hear a little bit about that area for nurses that might want to go into that.
Sure. I mean, tissue viability fundamentally is about wound care, but it's such a complicated, multifaceted topic, so you can actually look at it from an academic perspective, you can look at it from research. I mean, I've been lucky to have the academic, research and clinical part of tissue viability. We're quite lucky in the UK and in Ireland in the sense that we have national representation for specialist nursing in tissue viability. So we have the Tissue Viability Society, which I'm a trustee of. And we also have TVNs Together, which again is collaboration and of tissue viability nurses.
Tell us a bit about the TVN Facebook group.
So it's a closed Facebook group page that's for tissue viability nurses all over the UK, and it's won one of the awards actually for the British Journal of Nursing. So it's a really good resource for TVNs in the UK, and they've done some fantastic work and they continue to showcase tissue viability as a specialty.
Great stuff. And in your doctorate, I needed some research for that. Tell us a little bit about some of the project or the piece that you wrote.
Yeah, my thesis was around exploring the experiences of injecting drug users living with leg ulceration. So fundamentally, people with a history of injecting heroin in the lower limb who have wounds or have had wounds, and their daily lived experience of that wound and life in all its complex reality. And I think it was really important to me to portray that the voice of these people in its purest way, because often in the media and on in the media we see people with the history of drug use not always portrayed in a very positive way, and I think it's very detached from what I call reality. So people who have history of addiction are somebody's mother, husband, wife, you know, it's related to everybody, it's very linked in society, but yet it's detached and they live on the margins of society. So for me, fundamentally, the study was about portraying the person behind the story lived, and I was able to do that. So I recruited 10 participants who were able to share their narrative, their journey, by completing a diary for 4 weeks. And then I interviewed each participant for an hour to explore further the themes of their story. And they wrote poetry, they drew pictures, they were very detailed about their lived experience. So they talked about the shame and the stigma of living with the leg ulcer, some of the positive encounters with healthcare practitioners, but a lot of the time the negative experiences that they've had and how that impacted on their already felt stigma. So it's really powerful stuff to listen to. You know, we're living in a modern age where equality, you know, and everybody should be treated in a certain way, but actually that isn't happening with some of our populations. And I think it's very much about raising awareness that we're not getting it right. We're not maybe supporting this particular vulnerable group of people, and we need to do more, particularly in wound care, to look after people who have leg ulcers or abscesses or any type of wound from a history of addiction.
It sounds like there's two elements, is the actual wound care, but it sounds like you're dealing with the emotional work there as well. It's not just, you know, as you say, a nurse isn't just, you know, fix it and then get out. You know, it's that empathy, that listening, that care, if you like.
I think it's really interesting because it's not rocket science. And for me, what I've learned through the years of working with people who are homeless or experiencing homeless is that it's not rocket science, it just is kindness. Fundamentally, people who have a history of addiction or homelessness, you know, they're very intuitive, as are sick people in general. So they're what I call streetwise, because they've often been hurt or they've had different experiences. I say they suss you out really quickly, so they can see you coming a mile away. Now, you may not have a particular thought process about that person. You might just be having a bad day or have other stuff going on. But actually, they will be looking at you to see if you're having particular body language, thinking that it's them. So it's a really interesting dynamic. And fundamentally, I think it's about, you know, being yourself and being true to what you're there to do. So I think my research showed that there's often a misunderstanding between the two groups of people, people who have a history of addiction and us as clinicians. We don't always understand each other, and because we don't have the time to listen, that's where the gap is. So there's often the encounters are not always positive. So I think we've a lot to learn in terms of how we work with this group, but it's not rocket science. I think it's about being kind, listening to the person, trying to understand where they've come from and their journey. I mean, there's no way you can care for somebody unless you appreciate the life lived. And I think that's where I've been really fortunate, that I've been able to connect with people and, you know, gain the respect and their trust, and fundamentally then be able to heal their wounds. Mm-hmm. So that comes after, and you know, wound healing isn't always something you achieve, but you still have that relationship. I mean, I have a patient who I very fortunate to care for 9 years, and he had a leg ulcer. He died quite recently. He was only 52, which is very common with people who are homeless, as we know, the statistics say that to die in the 40s or 50s is quite common there. And, you know, his daughter sent me a card to say, you know, I don't know if it's allowed, but please come to my father's funeral. Thank you for all the care. I mean, these are real meaningful relationships that I've been able to build myself and my team. So that to me is what matters. So yeah.
How do you and your team, you know, one of the things we notice is it doesn't seem to be a trained thing for nurses, but the softer skills, how do you pick them up? How do you learn them?
So when you say that,
you know, how do you talk to, you know, families, daughters, husbands, yeah, wives, you know, how do you, you know, is that learning from experienced nurses or is that just, you know, going through it?
It's really interesting, the terms that we now use, like resilience, softer skills. These terms were fundamentally, for me as a nurse, they're just inbuilt in how we are. And yes, there is an element of experience in that, but I think it's not, we shouldn't overthink these things. You know, I think fundamentally, people in this profession should be able to work and communicate with everybody. And if you are unable to do that, then that needs to be explored in whatever context that is. So if you're not able to have a calm, practical, kind conversation, not just with a patient, but with your colleagues, then that's something that as a nurse, you should be reflecting on and saying, actually, what can I do to be able to improve on this? So, you know, nobody is perfect. We all have to learn. But I think there isn't always the time to sit down and say, I could have done that better. You know, I didn't handle that great. How can I do it better the next time? And I think reflection, yes, it's key. It's what they always talk about with nursing. But I'm not sure we're always doing it in a way that actually makes a difference. Is it now just another term that we throw out there? Well, for reflection fundamentally is learning and improving and feeling good in yourself with what you can do next with that.
Do you think nurses get given the time for that? Because I know we come across on the Voice of Nursing, we find a lot of discussions about mental health and about time and about pressure, that nurses are under more pressure than they've ever been under, really.
Yeah, I definitely do think that, but I also think, I suppose, wearing my other hat, thinking, well, actually, we've always been under pressure. Nurses have always juggled going through history. We've always worked in a certain way, and actually, you know, how do we manage? I suppose it's managing what is thrown at us in terms of resources. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change. So how do we actually manage to work with maybe having no time? And one of the things that I find really useful is when I teach, to say to nurses, you know, when they come in and you can see them coming in with the 4 days they've just worked and the bills on their shoulder and family stuff going on, I just say, look, just relax for a few minutes. This is your time out to learn and to absorb. And you can see them just, you know, relaxing back into the chair. So we don't know how to relax, maybe. You know, our nurses, is that part of our curriculum? You know, we should maybe be looking at ways for well-being. I do believe that needs to be built in our curriculum. You look at the Australians and the Americans and the way that they operate, they're so advanced. I mean, we need to be looking to them for other ways of working and having well-being inbuilt in our profession, for ourselves and for our colleagues.
I know we were speaking to Teresa Chin yesterday, in fact, and she was talking about fitness to practice, and literally about well-being, you know, both being healthy and being fit, and also, you know, and that helps with the mental well-being as well, which is now becoming a big part. And tell us a little bit about your role as, let me get this right, co-vice chair of Legs Matter.
So the Legs Matter campaign is a program run by not-for-profit organizations. It's a collaboration to raise awareness of lower limb and foot conditions. So from my perspective, it's very much about leg ulcers and oedema, but also included in that is lymphedema, of course, and the diabetic foot. And we know that chronic lower limb conditions are very much kind of the Cinderella service in the UK, and it's about raising public awareness and also political awareness that we need to be commissioning services for patients who have leg ulcers. And the focus of the Legs Matter campaign, it does very much have a patient focus, so we're really fortunate to have patient representatives working alongside the campaign with us. And I myself have been fortunate to have a lady with a history of addiction living with a leg ulcer who come along to share her story, and she's actually presenting with me next week on at the Tissue Viability Society, so she'll be sharing her story with living with a leg ulcer. So the campaign has actually an awareness week in June. So it's from June the 3rd, and this is a really exciting time for everybody to get on board and do their own thing. You know, they talk about have a Legs Matter natter, so whether it's running like a T group at your local leg ulcer clinic or getting your GP on board. So the website, which is legsmatter.co.uk, basically they have like, you can ask for free leaflets or promotional stuff that you can bring with you to highlight the need for lower limb awareness in the UK. It's a big problem that needs to change because patients can't always access care for their leg ulcer or for their diabetic foot or for their lymphedema.
What did you mean by the Cinderella sews? I've never heard that term.
Yeah, it's a term that we use a lot about particularly lower limb conditions because it's a chronic condition that even though there is a big population with, let's say, lymphedema and leg ulceration, there is no services to support that. So you will find, for example, a patient who is mobile with the leg ulcer. District nurses won't see that patient because they're not housebound. So they're mobile. So if their GP doesn't have a practice nurse who's trained in compression, they've nowhere to go. So you have a patient walking around who's probably working as a chef or a hairdresser, which we often see, and they have a chronic wound on their leg, but they have nowhere to go to have it assessed or have it dressed. So the main treatment for venous leg ulcers is compression. So it's a compression bandage that they need to wear with their normal clothes. And now more and more we're seeing patients who are younger and who have leg ulcers for many reasons, but you can have one because you've recurrent DVTs or you've injected drugs or you maybe have had some form of orthopedic surgery or traumatic injury, varicose veins. So it's quite common. It's a lot more common than people think. And the campaign itself has got useful information around what to do, both from a professional perspective and also the patient. So where do you go if you get this wound? What should you do? Because often people don't know. They see something on their leg and think, what is that? Is that a wound? And then 6 weeks later, it's still not healed. And the GP or the practice nurse may not know either. And the next thing, it's an ulcer. And then 2 years go down the line. We've had patients that have lived with these for 10 years. Yeah, 10 years, maybe even more.
What's the recommended advice if you see something like that? Do you just get down to the GP?
I think for me, it's about finding out the diagnosis.
Yeah.
So if you have a wound on your leg, what is going on? It's not just a wound that's popped up for no reason. I want to know, is there a problem with my arteries? Is there a problem with my veins? Is there a problem with both of those vessels? So a chronic wound on the limb is there for a reason. And you need to find out from your GP in the first instance, what has caused that? And do you need a referral on to a vascular surgeon, which is often quite likely. So that's fundamentally for me. Once you get the right diagnosis, hopefully you should be able to access care from that, but that's not always possible. And that's where our campaign, that's where we talk about the Cinderella service. There is a gap in care for patients with lower limb conditions. They have sometimes nowhere to go. And we've recognized as a collaborative that that's not acceptable. So, yeah.
It's a bit of an eye-opener in today's society that, modern world.
It's been going on a long time, but actually probably not public awareness because wounds are a bit of a taboo. You know, wounds, they can smell, they can leak. You know, there is a bit of a stigma attached to that, and not everybody with one will share that knowledge that they have one. So I think a lot of people have had one or living with one. If you go around your local supermarket, you're likely to see people, as we often do with bandages or varicose veins. It's really quite common. Yeah.
You've been awarded several awards over the past couple of years, but I know that you've been shortlisted as a finalist for the RCN Awards 2019 in the wound and prevention and treatment category.
Yeah, I've been really blessed this year. I suppose after my doctorate of 6 years that I finished and submitted my thesis in October 2018, I thought it was a great opportunity, you know, along with my supervisory team, to showcase what I did, to share not just locally in London, but nationally and also internationally. So I've been shortlisted for the wound award category for the Royal College of Nursing, and I've also been really fortunate to win the Journal of Wound Care Patient Wellbeing Award, and I came third for the Best Clinical Research Award as well, which was held here in London just recently. So it's an exciting time for wound care, and I think it's about sharing that with everybody, and I suppose empowering nurses to get out there, showcase their work, There's some amazing work going on out there with nurses at the minute.
There seems to be a lot more collaboration with nurses. We're hearing more and more about it. People want to share.
I think as we don't have time maybe on the daily basis to share, you know, we don't have time to sit down and have the coffee and say, wow, you're doing this, that's amazing, how can I do that? So I think we're looking for other ways, and yeah, it's, I think that will continue, and social media seems to be a real kind of medium for that at the minute.
And what, I suppose you've been doing your nursing career for, you know, for a number of years now, what sort of changed, or what, you know, what things have you looked at and gone, that was so different then, and now it's here now, you know, it's a period of time in your life?
I think in terms of change, I have witnessed, you know, with the skill gap, so with the retirement of some of our very experienced nurses at a really, what I consider, young age, you know, I have seen a gap. So we have lots of nurses coming in quite novice, and then there seems to be, I suppose, those of us at my stage, and then there may be nurses who have retired at 50, which is a huge loss to us in the profession. We need to be saying to people, actually, you know, what can we do for you to keep you at work? How can we work flexibly? What works for you? Because the skill that nurses have at that stage in their career is phenomenal. So yeah, I have noticed that in terms of the skill mix. It's nice to say that the enthusiasm for the job, the love of the job is still there in the new nurses that I'm seeing. I think that's definitely quite nice for me to see, because nursing is going through a process of change and probably will do for the next few years, but the love of the job is there. And I see that every day, and yeah, that's great.
Why do you think so many nurses are taking that early retirement?
Well, I suppose, or I think they could, couldn't they, with the old pension plan? And yeah. I think, yeah, that's changed now. So we all know we have to work a little bit longer. So yeah, I suppose they took that opportunity. But it's about going back maybe to saying to nurses, well, would you consider coming back for a day or 2 days, even to teach or for nurses to shadow you? It's a shame that nurses retire and then I suppose all that knowledge just kind of goes with them. Or maybe encourage nurses to write it down or to come and present. I'm a great believer in that.
And you mentioned student nurses. I know we've had student nurses come on here, and the pressure they're under. You know, both financially and also doing the job as well.
Yeah.
It's great to hear they've still got the enthusiasm for it, but you know, we see a lot of young people under a lot of pressure, especially with the bursary issue.
I think student nurses, the ones that I meet on a day-to-day basis, they like to talk, they like to share, you know, both how they feel about nursing, but also the anxiety. And I think they need strong mentorship and leadership and role model. That's needed. That helps support them and to say, it's okay. You know, you will have your bad days, but fundamentally, nursing generally has all the good days. So it's part of the process of being a student and the journey of nursing. It's not possible for it to always be smooth running. And I suppose it's about being able to manage that with support. So I always like to see students have somebody they can go to, whether that be at uni or in clinical practice. Have they got someone they can talk to? And also family and friends are really important for students, because they're who they go to when they're not at work. So not everybody has that support structure, and I think it's about being kind to each other. You know, I fundamentally, I feel so strongly about that we need to reach out to nurses who may be having a difficult time, and to recognise that and kind of read through the lines that if they are, how do you help support somebody both in work and outside work?
Because how do you go about doing that? Because we are seeing a lot of themes that come out in this, are mental health of actual nurses and burnout, which we're seeing a lot of, because obviously nurses are great looking after the patients, but looking after each other as a community. What are you sort of seeing on that side of things?
I think we're maybe a little bit on the slow burner to address that at the minute, and that's why I like to look, as we just said, to the Americans or the Australians about well-being. I think it has to be ingrained in what we do on a day-to-day basis. So even the likes of encouraging breaks, you know, making sure people have their breaks and that they go home on time.
Doesn't tend to happen with nurses, does it? You always see the kind of, you know, it's almost a social media thing. You see the memes of they didn't get a break, couldn't go to the toilet, didn't get any lunch, and always working longer. It's almost like a badge of honour type thing, but it's long term, has, you know, some hard side effects.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, maybe it's just ritual, you know, where for me and my team, I've always encouraged people to go home on time, because that means they have time away from work, which is really important to recharge your batteries. You have to have that. If that's not happening, it's a discussion that needs to be kind of brought to the forefront. Yeah, it's a big problem, though. I recognize that. But that's why we need to be here for each other. We may not be able to address it at that level, but if we're here for each other, we can try and, I suppose, relieve the pressure that way.
And what do you sort of see, you know, top three sort of trends over the next couple of years for nurses?
Yeah, that's an exciting kind of thought. I mean, for me, it's very much about empowering nurses to be whatever they want to be in the profession. So I'm a great believer that at different times in your career, you can do whatever you want alongside your job. So you could write a blog, or you can work with a charity on a campaign. You know, it doesn't have to be, I suppose, a straight road. Your career can be as a registered nurse, and you can do other things alongside that. And that kind of, I suppose, fuels your passion for the job. But I also think nurses being entrepreneurs is going to be big, and I fully support that. Again, I look to the Americans and to the Australians, and they've totally cracked that. So nurses being legal experts, nurses also writing medical editors, writing books. It's great. It's fantastic. So for me, how can we work in different ways for patients? So, you know, how can we give patients what they need? Maybe not always in this way in clinical practice, you know, and also our colleagues, so nurses themselves.
And if you were advising a younger person at the moment about going into a nursing career, what sort of, you know, advice, or why would you recommend it?
I think nursing is a fantastic profession. I think when you're coming into it, if you were to think about every little single detail, I mean, you know, we could, it's easy for me to sit here, but actually, fundamentally, it's a fantastic profession. I mean, you're looking after people and families who need you. And there's nothing like being there in the dead of night, you know, holding somebody's hand, or, you know, healing their wound, being with someone when they're dying. These are really privileged moments that, as a nurse, we only kind of have access to. So it's about recognizing that. I think, yeah, the journey, you know, one of the things people say to me is, how do you get to this point fast? You know, people want to do everything now like that.
Yep.
It's not possible. I mean, I had a nurse say to me once, oh, I'd love to just, you know, copy everything, you know, and just, you know, have it myself. I was like, well, that kind of defeats the purpose, because actually it's that journey, that critique, that hard work that makes you good at what you do. You can't kind of cut that out. So it's just being patient, I suppose, with the job. Taking the good with the bad, reflecting on it, but fundamentally the patients and everything about that and their families stays central at the core of what you do, I think you'll be fine. So nursing is a brilliant profession, but it's just remembering why you're in it and why you get up every morning and do it is for the patients. So I think once you have that thought process, you'll be fine. You'll be in it for a very long time, I hope.
And you mentioned about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you might have something coming up in that field.
Yeah, well, that's an exciting topic. I hope to be doing, well, I'm definitely reading a lot on it at the minute, and I'm exploring lots of options with colleagues, both in surgery and medicine. So, you know, it's a collaboration. Nursing is a collaboration for everybody. So I think I've always had the thought that I like to network with people from all different industry, our medical colleagues, and to learn from them. So I've learned so much from many different people. And I think for me, it's about how can I reach patients from all parts in different ways. So it is something I'm looking into, alongside potentially running a wound clinic for the homeless population in London. So that's in its very early stages. But again, it's about, what do people need? What's missing? How can we provide that? You know, if the NHS is providing that, good and well, but if it's not, let's get out there and do it. You know, let's just be proactive. We have to think outside the box. And you can call that entrepreneurship or whatever, but for me, it's about recognizing a clinical need and giving patients what they need.
And that's because the homeless find it very difficult to go and get that service.
I think the services are not always set up in a way, in a specialist way from a tissue viability perspective. So I think the homeless services in London are amazing, but they may not have that focus on wound care, which is a need. And for me, I work really closely with the homeless teams, and I know a lot of them, and they do amazing work. So it's about, again, you know, homelessness, mental health, general practice. We should be crossing boundaries and sharing knowledge. It's not always because of time and things like that. But actually, since I've met and presented at the London Homeless Conference, I've said, well, let's do something. Let's bring this care to this patient group. So yeah, think outside the box, network, work with everybody, learn from everyone. That would be my advice.
So you've got the full-time job, got the doctorate. Do you have any time to do anything outside of work?
yeah, any time outside work. Okay. Well, I enjoy spending time with my family.
Yeah.
Yes, I enjoy reading. Fundamentally, I think, you know, work is always there with me. It's kind of inbuilt, instilled. So my mind is always, what can we do? And that's happening. But, you know, that's the life. I think for me, nursing's always been a vocation. So ever since I was a small child, I look at the uniforms that they, you know, they're giving out now for nurses to wear, like the young uniforms. And I remember wearing one when I was kind of two or three. So it's always kind of been in my genes, if you want. Yeah, so free time. It's not really a lot of it at the minute, but that's okay. I'm okay with that.
And thank you for your time today. Is there any message you'd like to give to our nurses that are watching this?
I think I'd just like to say you're doing a fantastic job, and I'm very, very proud of all the nurses that I've ever worked with and know. And you may not know it, but you're an inspiration to me and continue to be for our patients and our families. So again, a massive thank you for all the amazing work that you do. And my contact details will be here. So please, if I can ever be of any assistance, do get in touch.
Fantastic, Janelle. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching The Voice of Nursing. Thank you to all our nurses, doctors, allied health professionals and carers. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
This episode was sponsored by Cromwell Medical Staffing. Are you a nurse looking to pick up a couple of shifts per month or a full-time agency? Give us a call at 0333 043 7101.